Chapter 1, The Information About Jesus. There are very few things that we know with certainty about Jesus of Nazareth, so few in fact that it is impossible to make a precise description of his activity. This does not mean, however, that we should doubt his existence or the fundamental ideas of his message. Even though it would be impossible to write a biography of Jesus, we do have some facts that we are sure of. He was born, for example, a few years before our era and died in the year 30. We know his name was Jesus. He was the son of a craftsman by the name of Joseph, and of a simple village woman of Israel named Mary. His brothers, or relatives, were James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude. He went unnoticed for many years until the end of his life, when he came out in public and preached the kingdom of God, with a peculiar understanding of the things of God and with a message of mercy for sinners, the poor, the suffering, and those rejected by society. Jesus was born during the reign of the Emperor Augustus, 63 BC, 14 AD. He preached the kingdom during the reign of Emperor Tiberius, 14-35 AD, and died under the procurator Pontius Pilate. Herod was the Tetrarch of Galilee, 4 BC, 39 AD, when Jesus announced his message about the kingdom. There are almost no extra-biblical sources that contain facts about Jesus and the early Christians. In the year 90 AD, the oldest Jewish testimony was written in Rome. The Hebrew historian Flavius Josephus mentions the stoning of James, the brother of Jesus, called the Christ, which occurred in the year 62. Around the year 112, Pliny the Younger, Roman governor of Bithynia, a province of Asia Minor, consulted the Emperor Trajan about the Christians. They were accused of refusing to worship the emperor and of singing hymns to Christ as God. Not long afterwards, a friend of Pliny's, Tacitus, wrote about the great fire of Rome that took place in the year 64 AD. The disaster is generally attributed to the Emperor Nero, but he blamed the Christians. In this context, Tacitus explains that the word Christian comes from a certain Christ, executed by the procurator Pontius Pilate when Tiberius was emperor. After the death of Jesus, Tacitus reports, Christianity, that despicable superstition, like all that is shameful and vulgar, found its way to Rome, where it gained many followers after the fire. Suetonius, the imperial biographer, wrote about how the emperor Claudius ran the Jews out of Rome after they disturbed the peace in the name of Christ. These are in essence the oldest pagan and Jewish testimonies. The authors clearly saw an intimate relationship between Christ and the Christians. Christianity was something that was directly related to Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. Thus, for the early Christians, the distinctive feature of their Christianity was their consideration of Jesus as the decisive, definitive, normative element for human beings in all their dimensions. A person's relationship with God, with other people, and with society, were to be determined by Jesus of Nazareth. This relationship was translated into words, values, and action. Christianity was to be an effective belief that activated the memory of Jesus as the ultimate determining factor. From the beginning, Christians experienced Jesus as a superhuman, divine reality. They bestowed on him a great number of honorific titles, even while Jesus continued to be for them, as he was for his contemporaries, a real, flesh and blood man. Modern biblical scholarship has detected certain myths, 1, in the gospel about the person of Jesus, some legends, 2, along with meditations and perhaps exaggerations, 3. But it's clear that the myth grew out of the history, and not the history out of the myth. In other words, the real Jesus gave rise to subsequent popular exaltation. The importance of the person of Jesus and his message, the severity of the problems of our times and our world, and the weight of our own lives, demand that we examine Jesus seriously. We need a deeper, more committed knowledge. I tell the Hindus that their life will be imperfect if they don't respectfully study the life of Jesus, Gandhi. Gospels and evangelists. The life of Jesus as told in the Gospels is full of information, but much of it is uncertain, because in the Gospel, history is used on behalf of faith. The evangelist's aim is not to present a thorough, coordinated account of the facts about Jesus, but to set down the most important memories, even though they have been modified by the earliest oral traditions. At first, the facts about Jesus, his teachings, and his death, must have been told in a simple way. The evangelists, not all of whom were direct disciples of Jesus, at a much later date collected the stories and sayings of Jesus that had been transmitted orally and partially written down, they took the information as it was kept and used in the early church, in the preaching, teaching, and worship of the communities of believers. The earliest written documents naturally arose out of a certain living situation, sitz im Leben, i.e., a setting in which they were developed and shaped. The evangelists were not interested in Jesus' development, or in the development of his religious and messianic consciousness, or in his motives, character, personality, or interior life. The evangelists provide no proof of any internal evolution of Jesus' consciousness, at most they allow for conjecture. Jesus' first witnesses and companions did not care about chronology and topology. Many of the time and place references are just ways to connect one story with the next, or to make the reading more vivid and interesting. If any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, straining out gnats and swallowing camels, Luke 14 verse 26, Matthew 23 verse 23, nor did they have any interest in their teacher's inner development. The evangelists made a written record of the information that existed about Jesus' teaching and activities. And they did not merely record facts, they also reflected on the faith that they wanted to transmit, and presented it with a specific and personal intention, according to a conscious plan. They arranged Jesus' actions and sayings according to their own project, they sketched out a framework to follow in order to create a coherent narrative. The evangelists put the texts in a certain order to meet the needs of their audience, they interpreted them in the light of the Easter events, they added to them and adapted them as they saw fit. This explains why the different Gospels, while talking about one and the same Jesus and while sharing certain elements, have very different theological focuses.